We would suggest opening the door and finding out.
Yeah, Dr. Rockwell, open the door.
Well, if it's a bear, I don't want to open the door. I want to go get a shotgun.
Dr. Rockwell, I assure you, we're in Boston. There are no bears anywhere in this state, much less in this city. So you have my scientific guarantee that this is no bear.
Dr. Rockwell, because I love y'all even though y'all hate me,
open
the door and I open it with more force. Enough force to make sure that bears cannot pull it back open. What do I need to roll for anti-bear strength?
Those privacy-loving bears.
Nothing.
How about, if necessary, Dr. Quincy will help you open the door this time. Yes. He will hold it open.
You open the door. It is not slammed in your face again this time, but you can hear the gross squishing noise as it runs through the puddle of blood and creates an arc of blood to where the door is opened up. The interior of the room is very clearly a bedroom, and not a child's bedroom, and probably not a master bedroom. It looks like it's very well kept, like no one has used it, because it's for guests, it's a spare bedroom. It does contain a bed frame, bare bed springs, and a dresser. Though unused, this room, that's not important because you guys haven't gone to the other bedroom. It does clearly appear to be unused. The mattress isn't on the bed, but everything else is very well kept.
All right, Dr. Quincy's pointing his flashlight in.
There is a pool of blood on the ground that leads over towards the window. It's like a trail towards the window. Like something was dragged through the pool of blood and went to the window. The window is closed and curtained, or the curtains are drawn.
Dr. Rockwell goes on in first.
Give me a second here. Okay, I've changed my volume a little bit here.
That's the lazy man's comedy.
Hear a little better. Okay.
Balls.
So yes.
We're working too hard.
The pool of blood looks like something has been dragged through it over to the window, which is across the way from the door.
Dr. Rockwell walks over to the curtains.
Okay.
And anybody got a stick?
No.
Yes.
Oh, you do?
We have a cane.
Yes.
I believe the doctor's Northcott. Doctors?
Yes, we are right here.
Oh, I wasn't sure if you walked in.
Bert and or Monty. Whose cane is that?
Doctors, please. We're not friends.
Bert and Monty aren't friends? Oh, got it. All right, sorry. Keep going.
They're fighting right now.
That's true. They are brothers.
I know that's the Monty talking. Come on, use the cane. If there's not a bear behind the curtain, I'll give you your keys back.
There's clearly not a bear behind the curtain. This seems like a good deal.
Seems like a good deal.
We roll our eyes, stride past you, and use the tip of our cane to push the curtain aside.
All right, I would like the doctors, Rockwell and Northcott's, to roll me spot hidden.
Right, make sure. That's not
right. No.
Oh. Maybe you need to use some different dice.
You want to use mine?
I get a success.
We'll try it.
Okay.
Do it.
What, right now?
Do it right the fuck now.
Do it. I mean, that's better. It's not a success, but it's better.
Uh-oh. Okay. In that case, I need you to now roll me a dodge check.
Woo.
Oh.
Him?
Yes.
Him?
Not me, eh? We didn't see it coming.
That's true. He did not spot this next thing that's going to
somehow
happen.
Somehow that saved you.
Well, no. It just means it auto-hits him.
Yeah.
It just says, I get it. Half of dex. So.
Half of 50 cents.
Yes, that is a success. I got a 12.
Okay, so here's what happens.
12 out of 25.
It's a hard success? Yeah, it sounds like
hard
success. Yep. All right, so you have stepped to the side to allow the good doctor's Northcott to move the curtains out of the way with his cane. And you do so, and as the light suddenly floods in, you hear a strange scraping noise, and a scraping, creaking kind of noise, clearly of wood and metal. And you turn and step to the side just in time to see the whole bed go flying past you and smash into the doctor's Northcott, who are flung through the window. Everyone who is not currently being defenestrated needs to roll me a sanity check.
Okay. That includes Dr. Cat.
Are you being defenestrated?
Defenestrated means to be thrown out a window.
No, not,
everybody, but us, okay?
Not physically. Emotionally, I am.
That's why we're rolling sanity.
Bert is my friend.
Ooh, just barely. Just barely under my sanity.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Oh. Those of you...
You got a 95.
I got a 95 out of 40.
So that's a failure.
Hell yeah.
I got a 71.
Okay.
Out of 70.
Oh, I got a 67 out of 70.
So you succeeded.
I did.
So you will take 1 point of sanity damage.
So my current level of sanity goes down.
Yes, your current level of sanity goes down.
Okay.
A foul, acrid, rotting stench suddenly fills everyone's noses, except for you, because you're outside.
Oh, I
you
thought you
fresh
meant
air.
Shit.
No, it's not.
Shit as
Times Square.
No, I mean, it's possible, but this is not poop smell. This is rotting vegetation smell.
Yes.
Should I lean out the window and check on him?
If you roll over your current sanity score, you lose a greater amount of sanity points. If you roll under, you will lose less or none. In this case, you lose less.
No.
Maybe.
I believe I critically failed.
What do you mean I lost less?
You only
lose one.
Yeah.
Because
we failed. So
oh, okay.
We're going to get.
Yes.
So you're going to lose more.
We're
going to
lose more.
A critical fail here. But you did fail a sanity roll. So I get to momentarily control your next action as fear takes hold of you. Perhaps you unwittingly scream or squeeze the trigger of your gun.
I will point out he does. I will say that he still has the last bit of his cigar that he bought earlier.
Yes, you swallow your cigar.
Oh,
and choke on it momentarily. You fire your gun off.
Glad I'm outside.
Yeah.
I fired out the window.
Thankfully, no one is. Thankfully, no one is near you, but you lose a bullet, which probably isn't going to be terribly important.
But bullets are money.
So you have 5 bullets now, I think?
No, I have 2.
You have 2 bullets now.
I only had 3 left.
So the gun...
Well, they're silver bullets. I have regular bullets, but...
That's true. Yeah, you lost a silver bullet. Yeah. For those of you who took... I'll get to you in just a second, I promise. For the two of you who have failed your sanity roll... You each take 3 points of sanity damage.
No, I only failed by 1 point.
You still take it because you failed.
No, but like...
If there's rules for criticals, they're not in here, and I'm not going to look them up.
Well, Matt can flavor that however he likes.
Yes.
So we're doing that from our maximum, or we're doing that for our current score?
You do it from your current score.
Okay.
Yeah.
Your maximum is 99.
Yeah.
Well, because she lowered her maximum earlier, so that's why I was...
Now you, Doctors Northcott, the lot of you get slashed by glass and wooden splinters, and of course the actual impact of the bed smashing into you and knocking you out the window. You will take some damage as well. Let's see how well you are able to take it. Ooh, not well. You take 8 points of damage. Oh. You smash through the window and land on a slightly sloped part of the roof above the dining room, the living room, and the kitchen. And unfortunately, you continue to roll from the impact of the bed and you into the overgrown grass and hedges. So at least it breaks your fall.
What the hell's happening in there?
So, Dr.
Rockwell.
Rockwell, thank you. Dr. Rockwell tries to pry the bed loose from the window.
Nothing seems to be holding it up against the window at this point, so you're able to scoot the bed back. You can see a... You can see a Northcott-shaped break in the glass.
Now, is it a Bertram-shaped break, or is it a Montague?
You're pretty certain in this case. Yes. Right.
I can see the top half is Bertram, the bottom half is Montague. So
I could recognize Montague's bottom half from anywhere.
So Dr. Rockwell pries the bed away with relative ease.
It is still a heavy 4-poster wooden bed, but you are able. I'm not going to require a check, and there's nothing holding it up against it.
So, Dr. Rockwell looks out the window and says, "Bertram, are you okay?"
okay may be a strong word, but I am alive, and I am as well, thank you very much for asking.
He kind of ignores Montague and turns back to the rest of the... Sorry.
He loves Bertram.
He loves Bertram. Bertram's his buddy.
How did this happen?
The better question is, will it continue to happen? The answer is yes. Dr. Rockwell turns back to the party. Dee is outside and Quincy's choking on a cigar?
Well, no, I believe that
outside the bedroom.
Yes, in the hallway.
I believe Dr. Quincy was holding the door open because we were having some trouble keeping it open. But then when all that shit happened, he freaked out and maybe swallowed his cigar, you know, right, as one does. So he may be, like, a bit perturbed at the moment. And I remember, what is it?
Dorothea was spooked
as well.
Yes.
She was reciting the Lord's Prayer, wasn't she?
Yes, in Latin.
In Latin, yes.
Dr. Rockwell looks back and says, did y'all see whatever threw that bed against the window and tried to take out Bertram and Montague?
What the hell could that have been? I didn't see anything.
Do the two of you who had to roll it, do you remember if you passed or failed your sanity check?
I know it
wasn't enough to realize the entire truth of what was going on.
I believe Dorothea passed because she was outside of the room, so it was like, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
While right. Dr. Quincy failed pretty miserably.
Oh, yeah, because that's why you swallowed your cigar.
Yeah, I rolled like a 95.
Right, which is bad.
Yeah, I think that may be crit fail range.
Yeah, reminder, but we don't have the rules for that, so. Yeah.
Reminder to the listeners, higher numbers, bad.
That's true. You want to roll under your score, typically. Here's what, because I didn't describe it the first time, so I think I'll give it a little bit of life. Here is what Dr. Frederick Quincy saw when the bed went flying. The bed itself was, of course, against the wall, mm-hmm. as a heavy four-poster bed with a box spring should be. But it upended onto onto the foot, and for just a moment, you could see a shadowy figure, gaunt, but with a kind of a pot belly. You don't make out any details of it, but you can see, like, splashed across the wall, you can see this shadow. And it gave a mighty heave to the bed, and the bed, with supernatural power, slid across the room on its front and smashed against the window. At which point you see the good Dr. Rockwell standing next to it, looking aghast.
Dr. Rockwell looks and says, we should probably go outside and check on... Doctors 1 and 2.
Right. Dr. Quincy adjusts his glasses and attempts to compose himself and stands up and heads downstairs.
Dr. Quincy, the hallway that you're in now suddenly seems a little bit more oppressive and gloomy. The shadows, or the light that was coming in through the minimal cracks in the curtains on the windows of the top floor, those things that I've drawn there, seems dimmer somehow, but you do head downstairs, and you get almost a weighty feeling on your shoulders and chest when you come all the way down to the stairs, because directly across from you are another pair of stairs that lead down into some gloom.
I need some fresh air, and he'll step outside.
Okay. It is a small relief when you make it outside. It is still unearthly quiet for this point in time during the day in Boston. And the two buildings next to you, the two office buildings, are still casting their shadows pretty well across the front lawn. So while you do have fresh air, you don't have that sunlight that you may crave so badly.
Dr. Northcott and Dr. Quincy's going to walk over to them. And I believe before I rolled first aid and didn't do very well. I don't know if you want to keep that.
Yes. So you failed to administer decent first aid, and at best you just bandaged him up.
Yeah, just bandaged him up and nothing else. And he just kind of zones out and is looking into like 1,000 yards stare.
Dr. Rockwell, what were you doing as Dr. Quincy leaves into the darkness of the hallway?
Dr. Rockwell goes and puts a hand on Sister Dorothea's shoulder and says, okay, let's go check on the good doctors that fell out the window.
She looks a bit shocked and kind of nods and goes with him happily to leave the house.
He tries to take her like arm to escort
the crook of the arm. Okay,
yeah. The gentleman.
She'll let him do that just because she's kind of out of sorts. That bed just flew across the room. What the hell?
The two of you, as I described to Dr. Quincy, also feel that the gloom and oppression has filled the house a little bit more strongly than it was when you came in here. And as you descend to the ground floor of the building, you can feel a looming darkness across from you, the stairwell that leads down into the cellar.
Was that stairwell there before?
Yes, it was there. I believe the good doctor's Northcott opened up the door when he was doing a little bit of exploration and saw that there is a creaky wooden stairwell that leads down into just complete darkness.
He ignores the cellar and starts walking more briskly while not walking too fast to make Sister Dorothea trip, and most certainly not fast enough to make Sister Dorothea's clothes catch on any nails.
You exit the Corbett house, and you can feel a small sense of relief, but as I was describing earlier, the shadows cast don't provide quite enough.
Now, real quick,
yeah?
The shadows cast, are these like natural shadows?
They are natural shadows.
Okay.
The two office buildings that flank the Corbett house are rather tall. I mean, they're 4 or 5 stories tall.
Okay, I'm just making sure it's not like high noon with the sun directly in the sky.
Oh, no,
because like
it is still early morning.
Okay.
So,
just making sure. I know your tricky games.
Dr. Quincy is just kind of 1,000 yards staring and maybe smoking a cigarette and like, I don't know what Drs. Northcott.
What are Drs. Northcott doing as they lay there looking directly up into the blue sky?
Well, they have, if enough time has gone by to get bandaged up, then they are currently on their feet, leaning heavily on their cane, staring not uneasily at the house, but very intently.
Which side are they leaning on the cane on?
It's in front of them.
Oh.
Ambiguous.
It's like he's thought this through.
Is one left-handed and one's right-handed?
Oh, man.
They couldn't be identical if that were the case, probably.
I don't know that that's true.
The parents tried to teach them, both of them, so that they could tell them apart.
Fair enough.
So they both learn to be ambidextrous.
I was going to say, the trick is that they're ambidextrous.
Because the parents couldn't tell them apart to train them.
Later correctly. We find out they're triplets.
Oh, no.
Okay, so Dr. Rockwell asked Sister Dorothea to check on Dr. Quincy, who seems out of sorts.
Is Dr. Quincy down here, or is he...
We're all outside now.
Yeah, he is just
administered. But those two doctors were up on part of the roof.
No, they rolled off of the roof and hit the ground.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah. It was a bad roll.
My bad.
Did you think we all just walked outside to the roof?
Nah,
I didn't know.
Dr. Quincy has walked outside down to the ground area, mm-hmm. yard,
okay. Well, it makes
to
sense.
Administer first aid to the doctor's Northcott,
right.
And is 1,000 yards staring and smoking a cigarette.
I thought you had found some way up on the roof, like on a trellis or something, and I wasn't about to go do that. I didn't realize he hit the roof and then rolled off.
Oh,
that makes
yeah.
a lot more sense now.
Yeah,
so.
I believe he went from 10 HP to 2 HP.
Yes.
That is correct.
Yeah, the bed smashed him through the window. He traveled about 2 feet in the air, smashed down onto the roof of the ground floor, and then rolled off in a very comical but horrifying way and landed flat on his back into the overgrown grass.
I didn't laugh the first time, but the second time he said it was comical, so I laughed.
Yeah, it's...
Dorothea is struggling to hold her cigarette still. It's a little shaky in her hand, and she manages to light it. It looks at the doctor's Northcott's and... Are you all right?
We are standing, which is something.
What happened? What was that?
I don't know. It could have been anything. I don't know.
We didn't see. That's an excellent question. What was it?
Bed flew across the room.
It's not possible. It shouldn't be possible.
All right, Dr. Rockwell, you've just asked Sister Dorothea to look at the good Dr. Quincy, who does not appear to be doing super well emotionally.
That's why he asked her to check, because he's not an emotional doctor.
No. What is Dr. Rockwell a doctor of?
I believe last we checked it was an architect.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, it was an architect. Yep.
I thought you were going to say archaeologist tech, and it's like, does sound like something he would say.
Fair enough.
Go ahead. Try and fake archaeology. I will roll against you.
What's your archaeology?
70.
I found all the Eddie bribery.
What's yours?
I have homemade brownies.
70.
I don't believe you.
I like brownies.
Roll to fake him out.
Are we doing this?
No, absolutely okay. Not. We're waiting for Sister Dorothea to take over her singing.
Yeah.
Well, I was talking to the doctor's Northcott, though.
So. Go ahead.
Remember how I was doing that?
Yeah, remember.
No.
I specifically said I thought it was funny how she went and talked to the doctor's Northcott because I said,
and I was like, Dr. Quincy. Well, they were the ones that fell off the roof.
Ah, yes. My bad.
We just had this conversation.
Yeah, I think the last thing she said was about the bed flying across the room. And Quincy was kind of like, that didn't happen.
He also fucking swallowed his cigar. Make of that what you will.
Can he have a horse throat now?
I'll do my best.
Yay.
Pretty certain he still has a human throat. Sorry. go ahead.
Dairy.
Good night, folks.
Nay.
No, that was worse. Dr. Quincy.
Eddie saved it.
I thought you were going to make a comment about horse Pepsi.
Nope.
I'm sorry.
You're doing good. Jen's not. Bad Jen. Dr. Quincy scene. Dr. Rockwell scene. Dr. Rockwell, what do you think about Dorothea just kind of ignoring what you asked?
I'm trying not to dominate the role playing, but if you insist.
The most awkward thing to listen to are these long pauses after I've said, hey, what about this? And then no one answers, like, I'm a terrible GM.
Dr. Rockwell.
Oh, I was going to say, John's just not used to being a player.
No, John just really has a feel for this character. It's a shit character, but he has a feel for the shit character. Dr. Rockwell looks and says, okay, so, and he looks at Doctors Northcott's. Did I say it right that time?
No.
Is it Northcott's or Cuts?
His actual name is Dr. Northcott.
Okay, so.
The plural, so when you say doctor, you call him Dr. Northcott's.
I say Doctors Northcott.
The Doctors Northcott.
But.
That's the other way to do it.
Dr. Rockwell.
Okay, but you said.
No, you said. No.
Anyway, what was Dr. Rockwell?
Dr. Rockwell says Dr. Northcott's because he ain't smart enough to get Doctors Northcott.
That's fine.
So that is right, but it's wrong, but it's right.
It's right for Dr. Rockwell.
He's not saying the wrong name, he's just using the wrong
name. That's fine. All you didn't say, is this right for Dr. Rockwell? You said, is this right?
Anyway, Dr. Rockwell.
Dr. Rockwell looks and says, okay, repossessing the situation. I think that I can safely say there is a 50% chance that may not be a bear.
There's no logical explanation for what happened. That shouldn't be possible. It could have been a bear. It could have been a vagrant. It could have been... what the fuck could it have been?
Dr. Rockwell pets the doctor's Northcott. on the shoulder and says, "Well, I tried, Bertram."
Ow. Yes. Tried what, exactly?
To say it might not be a bear, but we've got another doctor here. Says it could still be a bear.
It could be anything. I propose no hypotheses.
Well, then we shall have to go back in and check.
Are you in a good enough shape to do that?
We may not be approaching any doors or windows first. If you will all indulge us in that. But the investigation must carry on.
Should we perhaps carry it on another day? Give you a chance to recover, and maybe perhaps we do a little more thorough research, seeing as this is a bit more complex than we had imagined.
Can Dr. Rockwell, not Jake, Jake would never condone this, can Dr. Rockwell give Drs. Northcott some of his opium to help him, like, gain some health back?
Shit, yeah. I like that idea. Opium's very popular in the 20s, and it sure makes you feel like you don't feel the pain.
It's really not. I looked at it. It's a little bit anachronistic because of the laws passed, but it's...
Well, it's strange that you have opium since it's not very popular here in the 20s.
It's anachronistic.
It's not like Dr. Rockwell's on the up and up, exactly.
That's true. Also, there's got to be opium dens in China somewhere.
Fo show.
It was from what I read, I think it was like 1914 or 1916 mm-hmm. where like these drugs started being outlawed. So I assume it's at that point where it's like, yeah, it's only been illegal for a few years, so like...
Yeah, that's what it's just his old stash then.
Yeah.
That he happens to carry around.
Dr. Rockwell pulls out a vial that says honey on it, but it's misspelled, and he pulls out a pipe, and he pours the contents a little bit into the pipe and says, "Let's get some of nature's honey in you to take away some of that pain."
Is not honey nature's honey?
Dr. Rockwell looks at you stunned for a moment and then says, "No one asks you, Montague." He offers to light it up for you.
We tend to avoid this sort of thing, only having the one remaining body.
Opium's good for what ails you.
We don't typically self-medicate, but in these circumstances, and they'll accept.
He lights it up for you and says, "It's okay, I'm a doctor." And then he strangely says, "Wink."
Doctors Northcott, as you inhale the opiate, which is in kind of a powdery sort of form, by the way, just kind of looking it up.
Oh, okay. I thought you were asking me, and I was sure.
It's a kind of powder because it's ground up leaves. Anyway, yeah. And seeds and shit.
Mine's powdered. It looks a little gold. That's why he calls it nature's honey.
Okay. Yeah. One of the first returns looked like that.
He didn't pee in it, did he?
Oh, dear. Anyway, you can feel the wave of relaxation kind of fall over you, and things feel better. The rest of you can tell that he's not getting any of his wounds stitched up, but you look a little bit more invigorated as the opium starts to flow through you, and you just kind of feel chill.
Is this not D&D opium that will magically heal him?
It is not D&D opium.
I mean,
I tried, buddy.
At most, it would be temporary HP.
That's what I was
thinking. Yeah.
Well, so you can ignore the next... Let's roll for it. I'll roll you a d6. Ooh. And you'll be able to ignore that much damage.
Cool.
I did you a thing.
Hey, you did.
Give me my keys back. You got a hit of the good stuff. Apparently, the con man has given you the wrong bottle because you can ignore the next 6 points of damage that come your way.
Hell yeah.
He snatches the pipe away and says, "That's my good stuff."
Since this is a one shot, we won't get to deal with the fallout of that.
Yay!
Damn.
But there will be fallout.
Oh.
Hooray!